Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Unfiltered Waters. Today, our guest I'm so excited about because they are my fellow Cal Bear and backstroker, Ryan Murphy. Ryan is a six-time Olympic medalist. Four of those are gold, and his longevity in this sport has already been incredible with so much more to come. We have such a wonderful conversation with Ryan today, talking about that longevity, how he has maintained his position at the top for so many years, how he stays motivated. He's been working with Dave Durden out at Cal now for almost a decade. So what that relationship is like, for those of you that don't know, Ryan and I actually roomed together at one point. So he will give you some very good detail about his pet peeves about me as a roommate, which I'm sure you will enjoy as I did. We talk about his recent wedding to his beautiful wife, Bridget, and so much more, but it is such a fun and incredibly inspirational conversation. We know that you guys will love it. Here it is. Enjoy. Everybody knows that Katie and I are podcast co-hosts, best friends, and former teammates for Team USA. What you may not know is that we are also hydration accountability buddies. Dialing in electrolyte intake can be beneficial for anyone prioritizing and restoring health through hydration. It also makes your water taste so good.
Element is an electrolyte drink mix free of sugar, artificial colors, and other dodgy ingredients. We have always been really picky about what we put into our bodies to fuel it properly, and Element seriously checks all the boxes to keep us healthy and hydrated.
And guess what? We are giving a free gift with purchase to all of our Unfiltered Waters family. You can receive a free Element sample pack with any order when you purchase through our custom URL, which we will link below.
The Element sample pack includes one packet of every flavor, eight total, perfect for finding your favorite flavor, which mine, by the way, is watermelon. This offer is available for new and returning customers who click our link. You can even get a free sample pack with every Element purchase by purchasing through our link. Drink up. You guys, this is one of our favorite endurance supplements for stamina, recovery, and soreness. Extreme Endurance by X Endurance is clinically proven to reduce lactic acid by 26%. This means less muscle soreness. It also reduces oxidative stress by 39%, which means it's fighting free radical damage. If you're looking to enhance your training by enhancing your recovery, Extreme Endurance is such an incredible place to start. I know for myself, I'm doing CrossFit for the first time in like 8 years. I am sore every single day, and this makes a huge difference in my recovery.
And X Endurance also has so many other amazing products. Some of our favorites are their protein, their collagen and greens, and their Fuel 5. I love their protein for a quick option if you're on the run but need to get something in. They are Informed Sports Certified and have so many different products that fit your specific needs. You can use code UNFILTERED to get 15% off your order, and we know that you'll see the benefits just as much as we do with these amazing products.
This podcast is a Cannonball Media production.
All right, Ryan, welcome to Unfiltered Waters. We are so pumped to have you. I just wanted to hear, we're what, less than a week from Christmas. Are you all done with all your holiday shopping?
Okay, I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close to being done with all my holiday shopping. I might have a gift or two left. I've got to go get Durden a gift today.
What are you gonna get him?
So he likes wine, as you know. So I was gonna hopefully a little bit of foreshadowing. I was gonna get him a nice French wine. Hopefully for some good omens leading into next year.
I love that. You should give it to him while wearing a beret and with a French baguette, just to really amplify the just omens.
Hammer it home.
Yeah, well, you can't see, but it's kind of raining pretty hard, so that'd be a pretty funny giddy up to deliver the gift in drenched in water.
Can you please video that and put that on Instagram? Yeah, yeah. I would very much appreciate that.
Anything to keep the mood light. The training the week before Christmas, we've got like four people in town right now because all the college kids went home for Christmas already. So anything to keep the mood up this week, is any ideas is totally accepted.
We just throw them all out there. I think you walking into practice in a beret with a French baguette and a bottle of wine is going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out.
So fun. And you guys leave for Olympic Training Center after Christmas?
Yeah, on the 27th. Yeah, so quick 27th. Christmas holiday. Get up to altitude. You know what it's like. Yeah, you just can't breathe and just start getting into the work.
100%. What do you most look forward to about training camp and what do you least look forward to?
Oh, that's a good question. I like that I can kind of just go into just like intense full business mode for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think that's nice. Like very limited distractions, food's right there, recovery's right there. So it's just, I'm sleeping a ton, eating really well, training hard. So it's just like eat, sleep, swim. The thing I look forward to the least, the size of the TVs in there.
They need an update. They need a revamp. I feel like
it's probably the same size that it was like the first time you went there. And I mean,
so that was like that's 30 years ago.
I think the cost of the TV, like when they bought it, the amount of TV you could get for that now, like you can make a serious upgrade.
Four times the size, at least
a 60-inch. Like
that'll be my only formal complaint about the Olympic Training Center for this podcast.
Noted. Perfect. Noted. It's been said. It has been marked into history, and so now we can go back to O2C and be like, listen, there's one thing that Ryan Murphy needs from you, even if it's just his room. Just get him a big TV.
Yeah. any room I'm in, we gotta lug that TV around.
That's it. So perfect that you started off talking about Dave and getting a Christmas gift for him, because that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. We just had Abby Weitzel on the podcast, and I talked to her a lot about her relationship with Dave. And of course, having swam for him myself for a short amount of time, but a meaningful amount of time, I just can't say enough about him. And being able to witness your and Dave's relationship was something that was really cool for me. I think that you guys have a very special relationship as a coach and an athlete. And I would love to start off talking about that a little bit. You've obviously been swimming for Dave since, 2013. Mm-hmm. Was that our freshman year?
Wow.
Yeah. So you're going on 10 years now of training with him, which is incredible. So I would love to hear about how your relationship started, how you guys have maintained it, and how you've grown over the years, because I think there's so much mutual respect there. And I think that that's something that a lot of athletes can really admire and look up to, is it's not one-sided. It's you going to him, Dave coming to you, and just the communication that you have is incredible. So would just love to hear about really your decade-long relationship with Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think you really nailed it at the end of that. Like the relationship is very founded in respect for each other. Like I know, and I've always known throughout the entire time I've been at Cal, I know Dave's doing everything he can to make me a better swimmer. And I know that Dave knows that I'm putting everything I can to be a better athlete as well. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that there's a big level of trust between us. And we understand that both sides have the exact same goals. Like he wants me to get better, I want to get better. And so I think when you really understand that, that makes the communication so much easier. I'd say when I first got into college, it was very much like, it was almost a blind trust. Like anything Dave said, I was like, yeah, sure. Like I'll run through the wall, in whatever you're telling me to do. And now as I've gotten older, I get a little bit more freedom in my training plan. I'll come to the table with some ideas of my own, and we'll talk it through. And I think that's been a great exercise for us. Just in every little phase of the season, I'll sit down with Dave prior to that phase and just give him my unfiltered thoughts on what I think I should be doing. And I think it's really good for him to hear that, because I'm not saying we have to do that, but he needs to know where we might just philosophically disagree in places. So he might have to sell me on his plan a little bit. And because the biggest thing, I think the biggest indicator of success in the sport is just being fully bought into what you're doing. That's allowed me to have a high level of motivation and be really consistent day to day. So I'm really happy that he doesn't take that as like, a challenge. He takes that as an opportunity to just sell his plan. And then there's been cases where he has kind of taken my ideas on and we've done that.
Have you always had, and I say courage because I hear so many athletes have this fear to talk to their coach because they think that the coach thinks they're questioning them or something like that. Is that something you learned when you got to Cal with Dave, or did you have that before at Bowles?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I definitely didn't have the courage to do that. Like when I was, you know, I'd say I really probably got that confidence after 2016. Before that, it was really just like, yeah, you tell me what the path is and I'm there. And then as I feel like my understanding of the sport has continued to develop, then I feel like I've been able to give more input. But I think Sergio at Bowles would have been completely open to that as well. Like he was really collaborative. Like he was, when I was in high school, he set up weekly meetings between him and myself just so he could take me through what he's thinking. And that honestly ended up basically being like a psychology sessions most of the time, because his goal for me and really a lot of the athletes in the group was building a belief in ourselves that we can, like he was going to give us the work to improve, but that can all unravel behind the blocks if you're not believing in yourself. And so he had a really firm grasp on that and just trying to build the confidence in us at a really young age.
Well, and when you've been at the top for how long you have been at the top for, there's definitely confidence that comes with that, right? And knowing that you do know what works for you. And I think that that's an important part too, is you're going into these conversations not telling Dave that he's wrong or going in there with any sense of disrespect. It's just, this is what I've learned from my own experience and what I feel like I can bring to the table. And your longevity is so impressive. And people within the sport understand how impressive it is. But to be at the top for as long as you've been at the top, and for you to continue to want to grow and get better and improve, how do you still have that motivation, that determination, even after so many years, such a high achieving level of the sport?
Well, I kind of put that back on Dave. I think Dave really fuels my motivation to continue to progress and continue to improve, because I think that's what he's doing as a coach. Like in every year, and I was talking to Nathan about this at Golden Goggles. Like he was like, oh, how's this year going? I'm like, oh, it's like a little bit different in this way and a little bit different in that way, and similar in this way. And Nathan was like, yeah, that's spot on. Like it felt like every single year with Dave was a little bit different, because he's just looking at the previous year and thinking, what did we do well? What did we not do well? And making decisions based on that. And I really have the same mentality. Just it's a little bit more internally focused, and it's not necessarily just encapsulating what's going on in the pool. It's encapsulating the lifestyle as well.
Mm-hmm. And you're just so good at this all around sport as a lifestyle. And I feel like you've always been like that, intensity of, okay, it's not just going and training for 2 to 4 hours a day. I'm going to come home and I'm going to cook dinner and I'm going to really be focused on my nutrition. I'm going to be really focused on my recovery. So for those that don't know, I know we were roommates for a while. So I got to like really see this in person of just like how in tuned he was. And it's almost like it never leaves. Like it's just always a part of your life. And you're always thinking about, what am I doing in this moment to get better and to be the best version of myself in and out of the water? Does that ever get exhausting? Are you able to ever turn it off? Or is it just so a part of who you are in your life now that it's just not even a second thought?
Yeah, for now, it's not a second thought. Mm-hmm. You know, I think at some point, and it's hard for me to like totally pinpoint when this shift changed, but things that I used to view as a sacrifice or a decision made for swimming, I now view that as just a healthy lifestyle. Like moving forward, I got like a sauna and a cold tub this year. And like, technically that's a decision.
As did we all.
Yeah. Like join, welcome to the club.
Yeah. And like, technically that's like for like swimming recovery, But like, that's a lifestyle thing. Like, I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to do that forever just because I like it. And I think it's the same thing with, you know, eating a healthy diet, being really in tune with how I'm sleeping and trying to get the best quality of sleep possible. Even like talking to someone, making sure that I'm framing things in the right way. Like, that's something that I started doing as a result of trying to help my swimming performance. But I think that's a really good lifelong skill as well. So all of these things I feel like have just turned into something that I really enjoy. And it's honestly something that I connect with Bridget on too. Like, she's really into health and wellness. And I think it's cool for us to constantly be thinking of how we can, you know, how we could basically feel better throughout the day. I think at simplest level, it's just that.
I love that, because I actually just sent a note out to one of the teams that we work with. I think, you know, not every single kid out there is trying to make an Olympic team, but I truly believe that how you do anything is how you do everything, like that whole mentality. So it's like learning, like you said, sleep, nutrition, taking care of yourself, that spans well beyond swimming your career. And so I think that message is huge. It's like, regardless of your goals as a swimmer, as an athlete in other sports, these skills are going to take you to be a successful human being beyond that. So I love that message. I think it's so important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, I mean, I tell people all the time, in the year of 2016, like, I was still taking classes. I felt like I learned more about nutrition in that 2015, 2016 year than I did in any of my classes. So it's just learning opportunities, but it's stuff that you take with you forever.
Yeah. And I love that you brought in Bridget too, because we have to pause the swim talk for a second so we can talk about the wedding. I was so bummed that I couldn't make it, and the pictures just looked absolutely beautiful. So tell us about the wedding. How was it? How is being a husband? Because you're, what, almost 3 months into being a husband now?
3 months in, and we're going strong.
Yep. You're a pro.
Yeah. Well, as shocking as this sounds, I was not the creative director for the wedding. Me with the black crew neck was not the creative director. So Bridget crushed that. I thought, like, there were definitely some parts of the night where I was like, oh wow, so like this is what we're doing, and it's beautiful.
This looks great.
Yeah, and it worked out awesome. So she crushed it with so many things on the front end. And then the weekend itself was incredible. It was so fun. Like, having so many people from different parts of your life in one space, and then you see them all having a good time and these just kind of like random connections being made. It was incredible. And like, I feel like I've just been riding the high since. And I think Bridget's the same way. And I keep on pointing that way. She's literally like, she's sitting. Like, I don't.
Oh, tell her we say hi.
She doesn't want me to turn the camera because she's we just came back from a wedding in Hawaii. So she just woke up. So she doesn't want the camera on her. But
I understand.
We understand. And we're so happy for both of you. It sounds beautiful. As I said, the pictures were amazing. What was your, like, if you had to pick a favorite moment from the night, what was it?
I mean, honestly, the emotions during the ceremony was wild for me. Like, that was...
Did you cry?
I cried a little bit. My one regret, honestly, is that I looked to see Bridget kind of like walking down the stairs, probably a little bit too far away. I would have... And we didn't do a first look or anything. Mm-hmm. So I would have honestly preferred if I just like didn't look when she was maybe like a minute away. And like started watching when she was maybe like 30 seconds away, because I was probably like most emotional, like as she was going like in and out behind trees from my perspective. But during the ceremony, that was just like, it was such an intense level of focus. Like, I was just so dialed into Bridget and like our pastor right there. So that was so cool. And like, you're nervous, obviously, when you're walking down the aisle, and when Bridget's walking down the aisle. But like, once we were up there, it was just such an extreme level of comfort If I could just bottle up that feeling, like that's something I'd love to experience as much as I can. It was just really cool.
I don't know if you felt this way, but you have nerves, but I almost feel like when I got married, it was the first time where I had these nerves, but it wasn't like before a race where it's like, I don't know the outcome. It might not go well. It might go well. But it was the first time in my life where I was like, oh, I know this outcome is going to go really well. Like, this is such an amazing feeling. It is. Like, I wish I could bottle that up too and just like have an elixir and take it daily.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I wasn't even nervous for the first dance. I was like ready to go.
Yeah.
So fun.
Well, I mean, did you guys do dance lessons before?
Yeah, we did three. We did three lessons. Oh. And I think that was the best money we spent. Like, because Missy, I'm not someone who before the dance lessons, I was not comfortable on the dance floor.
I don't think any swimmer, except for Missy, actually. I take it back. Any swimmer except for Missy who can dance flawlessly.
Missy, because Missy's like, yeah. Missy's like center of the dance floor if she's out there. She's out there crushing it.
She's like choreographed with like out even like any wedding. You're like, did you come up with this prior? Or like, how are you doing this right now?
It's all true.
I have no. You're like, I agree. I will be the first one there.
Missy just knows how to like feel the music. Like you watch her dance, she, like, she is feeling that music. And that's a beautiful gift.
I know.
Cute.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is real.
I love that that was the best money that you guys spent.
I love that too.
So amazing. This, you may not have changed anything. I'm curious as to, now that you guys are husband and wife, I know that you've been together forever, which is why I preface that by saying it may not change how you view it, but now being married and having this life partner, does that change your perspective on the sport at all? Knowing that like, okay, like I have this thing that's a huge part of my life, but now there's this other piece of it that I'm going to have forever and is ultimately like just this whole other piece that is going to bring me maybe more comfort or more encouragement, knowing that no matter what happens in the sporting space, like I'm always going to have Bridget to go home to. Did you feel that shift at all over the last 3 months, or has it kind of been similar since you have been together for a while?
I would say honestly, like I think every relationship is so different. Bridget is such a hype beast. So like, I think really like what's the change that I feel is we're so much as like motivating each other towards each other's goals. Like we're both just very like goal driven, like, and we just want to be great at things. So she's like really hyping me up. I'm hyping her up. And so I think we're probably just a little bit more headfirst into each other's goals.
That's such an amazing quality to have in a partner. I feel like we both have that with Todd and Hayes. And it's amazing how that impacts you when you're still competing, but also then well past it. Mm-hmm. And going into good partnerships, and Cal obviously has such a history of just elite athletes that have come out of that program. Kind of two questions here, but the first one being, you have spent a lot of time training with also some of your greatest competitors. How have you managed that going into practice every day, knowing that you're working with some of the people you're going to be competing against for spots on teams and medals at world championships and the Olympics? And how has that impacted your own training and your own mindset going in there every day?
Yeah, I mean, on the topic of elite transition there, Missy. That was beautifully done.
And I think
in terms of the training partners, I mean, I think we're so lucky that two people make the teams. So I think that's like that first and foremost is like the biggest blessing of it is like, I go into practice, like, all right, like we've got two spots to make the team in 2024. I hope that's me. If it's not me, I hope it's Destin in Keaton. There's a level of, yeah, you obviously want great things for yourselves. You want great things for your teammates too. And just realizing that you can hold both. And really, like, I've always been of the mindset, like, that's a constant measuring stick. So you know where you stack up every day, and that's just, it's almost a practice of extreme honesty with yourself if you're training with some of your biggest competitors. And I think everyone has their unique strengths. Like when I was training with Pebley, like he was a little bit more of like, he was more like aerobically oriented. And so like he would maybe be doing some extra swimming as compared to me, but I'd probably attack the weight room a little bit harder. Where like now with Destin, I would say he's someone who he holds so much water. So he just swims so long, which is honestly really hard for me to swim next to. I've always like trained like with like really long stroke. And so swimming next to someone who can kind of match you with that is a little bit tough, like tough mentally to wrap your head around, but he just holds water really well. Like his arms, legs. But then when we start going fast, he's just going to be a little bit slower tempo. So not getting like distracted by that, cause he's going to go really fast, but it's just a different type of skill set. So you just see these like unique strengths that everyone has too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you do this so well. You say there's space for both. And I just want to acknowledge that is you do such a good job holding space for both and like so many different aspects. Like one of my favorite things I hear you talk about is the way that you're so competitive, but you also hold space for this insane amount of respect for your competitors, knowing that it's anyone's game on that given day. It's not up about where people have been at that point, what they've accomplished. Like there's just this level of fairness and you do such an amazing job with that. My second part of that question was there's also been an incredible history of male backstrokers in the US. You have Kreiselberg, you have Pearsall, you have Grievers, and now it's you. Like you are and have been that next in line that so many young athletes have been looking up to for so many years and will continue to look up to. How do you feel about that responsibility and what does it mean to you to hold that title alongside such incredible icons of the sport?
Yeah. I'll start with the first comment in terms of like holding space for two things. Cause I think it's really very subtle in terms of viewing competition. I think it's, and I'll go with the two extremes. Like one extreme is if you're kind of just putting down your competitors in your mind at all times and you're like, oh, like I'm going to go like destroy this person. I'm going to go beat them. But then what happens if they beat you? Like then, intuitively, then you kind of think that you suck. And then the other side is like, okay, I need to really have a fire under my butt because my competitors are really, really good. And like, I need to be even better than really good in order to go win there. And so like, I think at one point in my career, I was definitely of like the little bit of like the negative point of view on that. And I think it's taken me a while, but now I would say I'm probably more on the positive point of view of just like, yeah, these guys I'm competing against are very, very good. And I need to be great in order to compete there. And then in terms of the backstroke legacy, kind of like where I see myself in that, I'm someone where like, I'm always kind of, I've always really struggled with like giving myself time to, like celebrate things in the moment. I'm always like, I'll achieve something and I'm kind of on to the next thing. And so I think that's probably like the longevity is probably something that I'll appreciate a little bit more when I'm out of the sport and I'm able to like zoom out a tiny bit more. But for right now, it's really just like a year by year basis, just trying to maximize that 10 month season where I have these goals I want to hit. And, it's kind of just like step by step. And then you look up at the end of that road and you've walked a lot of steps. So that's kind of the mentality there.
Love that. And I know we did a lot of kind of listening to different episodes and podcasts that you've been in before. And one thing that Katie and I, we've talked about on the podcast, and I know we want to get into with you a little bit, is this idea of transitioning from sport. And we always are like hesitant to do this because we're like, we by no means are like putting a limit on your time in this sport. Like, we hope that you swim for absolutely as long as you can, selfishly, so we get to continue to watch you. But we focus on the transition piece and how it's really hard, again, to hold space for both your training and being at the elite and top of your game, and also looking towards the future. And it's something that, you know, Katie, I think, has a really unique perspective on, because when she finished the sport, she left. And you can speak a little bit more to that, but you have so many skills in this entrepreneurship side of your career, and you've figured out how to apply those skills that you learned from swimming into that professional area of your life so beautifully. I know it took time, but I think it's a really important story to share.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say I don't know if you still work with the VC company. Mm-hmm. Okay, you do. I don't want to go down a path and you're like, I don't work with them anymore. But I think I commend you, because it, to Missy's point, it did take me, 4 or 5 years to find my footing, to see, wow, you know, all the skills that I learned as a swimmer very, very easily translate into the business world, into, you know, having my own company. Like, it's, I mean, there's like 15, 20 different qualities that you know. So yeah. I would love to hear, you know, kind of how you've been able to do that at the same time and have this confidence that just because you're focusing on something that can span into your life after swimming doesn't affect your focus as an elite professional swimmer. I think I always struggled with, oh my gosh, if I try to do anything else and I'm not laser focused on swimming, that means for some reason I'm less driven towards that goal. And that's not the case at all. And so I think it's amazing. I want to hear your perspective on it, which has, what has allowed you to pursue both.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say first, like, it's very impressive what everything that you're doing. Like, I think that's really cool. And I'd say, like, kind of the way that I've thought about this, and this would be like, it's very much be in like the like theory category. So, like, I wouldn't take this as like absolute, you have to do it this way. But I kind of just did the thought experiment of what are the things that I really enjoy about swimming that I would love to have in a career after swimming, and kind of just start from there. So it's like, I love to compete. I actually really enjoy like having a long season where you just get in a lot of work, and then having, having a lot of pressure on the thing at the end of the season. So like having a level of patience in the sport, being able to make a plan, but then adapt on the fly just based on how the body's adjusting. You have to be pretty technical and look at a lot of different things. I like the culture. Like, I like being around really motivated people. So those are all things I wanted to take into that I want to take into a career after swimming. And so, I mean, just being in the Bay Area, like, there's so many different investing firms. And so being able to get in with the house fund, that one was very logical. So they're investing in companies with a Cal co-founder, whether that's a Cal student or a Cal professor. And so they've kind of utilized me. I get a look at a lot of the companies they're investing in. But then also, like, their overarching goal is to try to unlock the power of the Cal network. So there's incredible things going on the Cal campus, really at all corners, athletics being one of them, but athletics is just kind of like a piece of the puzzle of all the incredible things. Like, it's, I think in terms of the amount of successful companies, like in terms of acquisitions or IPOs, Cal's number one, in the US at least, and maybe the world. And so being part of that level of excitement is something that's really inspired me. Like, I love the idea that you can pull motivation from so many different places. And so, like, that's kind of been the result for me is I'll talk to really like some kid who has an idea that they're really excited about. They're starting to get traction. They're making a product. They're trying to figure out what their market fit is. And I love that. Like, it's, there's so much, like there's just so much excitement and it's contagious. So I really like that piece. And it does give me a level of comfort in the pool as well. Like, you guys, we don't need to get into like contract structures for swimming, but like the way that we make money, it's so variable. Like if you miss a team or like, you know, 1 year you're meddling in a bunch of events, next year not, like that income could be pretty much like a roller coaster. So having like, you know, being able to set up something that's a little bit more like steady has also been a goal of mine. So that's why I've leaned into opening up a swim school in Florida. So like, that's hopefully something that could be really, you know, just a really like fulfilling business. You know, just teaching kids how to swim is very, very cool. But then it's also like something that's just very stable. So I like that. I like that piece too.
What's something that you've learned being a part of that fund that's shocked you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I think in athletics, we're so used to what's really like a zero sum game. You know, like you have first place and you have second place and you have third place. And so I kind of assume that in business, it would be pretty similar, but in especially early stage venture, there's so much risk that like when a company goes out for funding, there's not like, it's not one investment group that's going to fill that entire funding round. Like they're going to fill a piece of it. And then that company has to go out and find the other little chunks in different places. So it is a little bit more of like a community feel of like, there's a lot of different investors that end up ultimately helping this company. And the company wants that because each investment group is going to have their little like niche skills and their niche differentiators as in ways they can help. So I think that's a little bit different. Not like so zero sum.
Mm-hmm. It's so fun because I feel like he lights up the same way when he talks about that, when he talks about swimming.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I think like it's such a dopamine hit of, you know, finding, like you're talking about, like the different motivations and you're learning new things. And it almost, I don't know if you felt this way, but learning all these new things in business, it's kind of how you felt when you were a little kid and you're learning how to swim and you're figuring out the technique to make you swim faster. And it feels like, oh my gosh, like it's the same thing with this podcast, right? Like we're learning new things, and that hit it of dopamine and excitement is, it's like a drug.
That's actually so spot on. Like I've tried to compare like what I'm doing right now is basically like, it would basically be like summer league swimming, you know, like you're kind of just doing it for like, like summer league swimming, you're doing it for the love of the sport. Like it's just like the raw, like you just like being around your friends and you like racing sometimes and you like the lollipops you get. Where this is like, it's like the improvement curve and the knowledge built, it's like, it's so fast. And so it's just cool to be in something where you could see just so much progress so quickly.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear more about the swim school.
Yeah, so that exciting. Was you just casually like, I know, dropped so that in there.
It's, I'm assuming that's with Goldfish.
That's with
is
Goldfish,
that correct?
Yes.
Amazing.
What's the timeline there?
Yeah, so it's going up right now. So
exciting.
It has been a process. So the latest is like we were told the last contractor is supposed to be done in April. So like I'm assuming you kind of just add 2 months to that.
as a baseline.
Yeah. So we'll just say mid next year, that school will be the Goldfish Swim School in St. John's, Florida. That's like the more specific location. That's where it's going to be opening. And it's a joint project. So I'm doing it. I'm doing it with my parents and my grandpa.
Oh,
so
amazing.
My grandpa's going to be a little bit more of like a silent partner. But my parents, like they're kind of in the stage of life where they could retire, but they want something to do. And I think this is a great project for them. Like both my parents love kids. I mean, like, geez, my mom's begging for grandkids.
I understand.
Not Katie.
Yeah. So that's like, that's great. She can like be in like a mentorship role for parents there. My dad, for like as stoic as he is, like he lights up around kids as well. And he really likes the operations and just learning. So I think it's a really fun project for them. And then it's great for me to get involved in the place where I grew up and be in a mission-based business where I feel like I'm giving back as well.
How special to do something like that with your parents and with your family. I know how close you all are. And to their credit, they are going to be amazing grandparents. No rush,
when
no
you guys
pressure.
Are, yeah. 3 months post-wedding. Yeah. I mean, that's when it started for me. So.
I got two siblings, so they could take that one.
Sleep is the foundation to performance and longevity. It is either enhancing your performance or holding you back from your highest potential. Dream Recovery is committed to just that, helping people sleep as well as possible so they can conquer the day. Dream Recovery believes in the power of evidence-based solutions to optimize sleep and recovery.
Yes, and everyone deserves to feel their best, and that starts with a great night's sleep. So many of our own Unfiltered Waters guests use Dream Recovery's sleep mask and mouth tape, including Carson Foster and Michael Andrew, and they swear by how much it has helped their sleep and performance in the pool. Visit dreamrecovery.io to have your best sleep ever. Use code UNFILTERED for 30% off your entire order and 50% off your first month of Dream Tape. Sweet dreams.
Hey everyone, we just wanted to give a super special shout out to our amazing production staff over at Cannonball Media. We have an amazing team behind this podcast and we couldn't do it without them. So thank you so much for all of your help.
If you're looking to start your own podcast, they take care of everything from A to Z. So reach out to cannonballmedia.co.
They've got it. Well, that is so wonderful. We're so happy for you. And speaking of pressure, we know that you thrive under pressure. So we decided that we're going to throw some hot seat questions at you and see what you can come up with. How's that sound?
Oh my God, if I start sweating, you know why.
All right, first one, the most embarrassing thing to happen either to you or a teammate at a training camp or a competition.
Oh my God. Okay. Most embarrassing thing to happen to me or to you.
You can throw yourself or someone else under the bus, whichever works better.
I mean, this isn't really their fault. And I honestly can't remember which of our suite mates this was. But do you remember the village in Rio in 2016?
Yes.
So like at one of the first couple of days there, someone was going to the bathroom and like the bathroom basically just like exploded. Like the water. Yeah,
because there was like concrete in the
plumbing. We didn't know that. So we didn't know that yet. So we just thought I don't know. I hope it was pebbly, because that would actually be like the funniest person for that to happen to. But our suite was the Cal guy. So it was me, Tom, Nathan, Pebs, Prino, and Anthony Irvin. So someone just like walks out of the bathroom, like completely flushed. They were flushed, God. But the toilet was not flushed. The toilet was, was completely overflowing.
Great.
So we were giving them a lot of crap, but then it turned out that was not,
literal
was not their
girl.
Yeah. Oh, but that would be my absolute worst nightmare. Like, I would just be like, I'm leaving. I don't need to swim.
I'm not actually going to compete at this Olympics. I'm done.
Bye. Like,
if that was embarrassing for the men's rooms, I can't imagine the woman.
Yeah. I cannot even. I mean, I'm sure crazier things have happened, but that would be a literal worst nightmare. All right. I'm going to ask this one because Missy may not ask it. So any pet peeves living as Missy's roommate for over a year?
I'll love you no matter
what. Yeah, no, I got it. Missy.
Take a little bit longer to think about.
Okay, so Missy, like I'll start off with like the kindest thing. Like there'd be times I'd cook dinner and I'd come back from eating dinner. My dishes were cleaned, they were put away.
I believe that.
Missy was like a queen in terms of like washing dishes, dishwasher, all that. But Missy couldn't stand taking out the trash.
I am shocked by that.
Yeah. She couldn't do it. She could not do it. So that was
that's new information to me. Wow.
That was our job. Yeah.
Like would it like to the point where like it would be like my husband does this. It's like fully overflowed.
I would be shoving it down. Like I
And you're living with like a couple guys that are like 1 year out of college. Like we know that game, you know, like we could push the trash out as well. So the bags would be like exploding. So it's not like, I'm not saying we were good at it. We're just saying that Missy,
they would just be the ones to do it.
You're like, I'll wait you out all day. Stubborn.
Yeah, it was a great game.
I love that. Oh my God.
I totally forgot, but it's so funny. Yep, Hayes takes out the trash all the time now. Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh. I carried over. All right. They're worse.
Yeah.
All right. This one, a little less funny, but we're both really intrigued by this. A time or a race that you were the most nervous for, but it actually went really well.
I mean, probably like 10 and under summer league was the most nervous I ever was. I used to get...
Is that real? That was when you were most nervous your whole career, 10 and under summer league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got so nervous when I was young. Like I couldn't... I would wake up. I'd have this like pit in my stomach. I couldn't eat breakfast. I had a puke bucket. So I would just like... I would like bring over like... Nerve. Yeah. No, it was like terrible.
Is it just like because you were new? Like what was making you that nervous?
I don't know. I mean, I grew out of it maybe when I was like 11 or 12. But like, okay. Yeah, until then, anytime I had a swimming race, I would just be so nervous. That was the only sport I was like that for. The other sports, I was fine. But swimming at like a young age, very like, yeah, I would get like crippling nerves.
So how did you come out of that? Where did that transition happen where you kind of started utilizing them instead of fearing them?
I don't know. I don't really know. I remember like having a conversation with my dad, who was a little more just like tough love. And he was like, look, like if you keep on doing this before swim races, like I'm pulling you out of the sport. Like I can't deal with this. So, I don't know. Maybe it was like, just taking on like another fear, I guess.
That fear of getting taken out of the sport replaced the fear. It makes sense. I mean, I don't know if it ever really fully left me because I always wanted to throw up, but like I would do that too. Like I'd be on the blocks. Like I remember one time I threw up on the blocks before trying to fly when I was like 12. Yeah. Poor timer, because I'm pretty sure it ricocheted.
Oh no, hopefully, not the ricochet.
Hopefully you weren't doing flyover starts.
I wasn't back then. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, sorry, kid.
So sorry.
Great finish.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right, bring it back to like ready room. Craziest or weirdest thing you've witnessed in any ready room?
I'm honestly so in the zone in the ready room. Like I don't really have like a ton of great ones. I mean, like, I guess like from afar watching Chad LeClos shadow box in the ready room was pretty interesting to me. I've never seen anyone do that. I think backstrokers are kind of just like chill and like quiet, which is kind of like in there.
Backstrokers are.
I think that's a very accurate generalization.
What is it? Like, I'm thinking back to every backstroke. Like, why are backstrokers more relaxed and chilled than everybody else? Because we're awesome. Because backstroke is the best stroke. Yeah. You're like, I don't want to say it, but like.
Yeah, maybe we're the cool kids. I don't know.
Definitely not. I can't put myself in that. I've never sat at the cool kid table.
Oh, stop it. I mean, I'll tell you mine because I've told mine was sitting in the ready room at trials with Schmitty. No, sitting at World Championships in 2011 with Schmitty before the 400 free final. And she's like, Katie, I really have to go. I have to go. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I don't, like, we're about to walk out. And literally seeing a stream of pee like roll down next to me. She's like, I just did it. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, well, it's good. You got it out. We're leaving now. So someone else's problem.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like, and I went from like being, actually, I was like, thank you, Schmitty, because I was like so nervous and like so just having a rough time. And she did that. And I was dying laughing. So
And the funny thing is, if, when we bring her on the podcast and we bring that up, she's just going to be like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
I had to pee, so I peed.
So I peed. What?
In the red. It doesn't matter. Like,
there's really no other option at that point, I guess.
There really isn't. I guess logically. Like,
okay, so is there anything that you feel like people don't know about you or would be surprised to know about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a lot more sensitive than people realize. Like I'm always trying to get a little cuddle, you know? Like I
gosh, I love that.
I feel like I like holding hands. I like cuddling. So yeah.
Are you like a night snuggler? Like you need to be snuggled?
No. I can't do that because then my shoulder falls asleep, and then that's not good.
That's a whole thing.
But I'll sometimes go and reach for a hand when I'm going to sleep. I'm more of like falling asleep like holding hands than. And we're not really an interlock couple. I know that's like another thing. Yeah. We're more of like a clasp.
Yes.
Are you getting hard eyes right now behind you?
I don't know. I'm not looking. She's smirking over there. That was like supposed to be our secret.
No, but I love that you share that because, I mean, that's a huge part of why we wanted to do this and have this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so fortunate that obviously I've known you so well for so many years and I adore you. You're like a brother to me. And so it's so fun, you know, being able to have these conversations with you and get to share that side of you with everyone who's listening and watching. And
you're like, great. I know. Yeah,
these college kids I train with are going to be making fun of me.
You're like, we're gonna hold
we're
hands,
gonna see you behind the blocks and be like, oh, he likes a soft clasp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't think that one through. Dang it.
He's also very tough and masculine, everyone. Very intimidating. Well, we are so grateful for your time, Ryan. We'll finish off. We do three questions that we ask everyone that comes on our show. So the first one is, what is a moment within the sport of swimming that has brought you the most amount of joy?
I would say... So before 2016, all the backstrokers were given just kind of like a stack of letters from people that have competed for the U.S. in backstroke at previous Olympics. So, I mean, that went all the way back to like John Neighbor was in there. I mean, it's probably like over like 20 people. And then like Pearsall in like typical Pearsall fashion, like he wrote his letter on like a typewriter. And it was
not
like
surprise
sounds about
it was
right.
Like three pages long and like very deep. I think that was cool. It was kind of like the welcome to the club type moment, and I thought that was really cool.
Wow. Well, so then it's up to you to continue the tradition.
Oh yeah. Whenever I'm done, then I'll.
Yeah,
I'll join in. I'll submit my letter.
That's so
special.
Is that another backstroke thing? Like backstrokers, no one else is doing that.
Just saying, we're just adding to our case over here.
Yeah. I think Jack Roach was the one who kind of set it up.
Okay,
of course it was
Jack. Yeah, Jack. I remember Jack delivered the letters at least, and he's like Jack's the guy who could get everyone on board with. And I think I actually think it was Pearsall's idea, and then Jack helped to like facilitate this. So I think I'll give the credit to Pearsall on that one, but Jack helped him out. So yeah, that was really cool.
Wow!
And for any maybe non-swimmers, Jack Roach in the USA Swimming community, I describe him as like Yoda.
Yoda, yes,
yeah,
Yoda.
Like he's just an unbelievable influence to anyone who's had the pleasure of knowing him and working with him, and is just really special. So it makes total sense that he would have a hand in that.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jack. Shout out Jack. Okay, same thing, but. Outside of the swimming world, favorite memory that brings you joy?
The wedding. Wedding. The wedding was that was all time for me. So that was like the best weekend of my life. So yeah, that was. I feel bad. It's like that's such a recent one, but I think that'll have some
completely acceptable answer.
Yeah,
that's one of mine too.
It will. We're already so excited. I love how I'm speaking about it as if it's mine, but Katie and Todd are already planning their 10-year wedding anniversary.
It's in a year and a half, by the way.
I'm so excited about it because Hayes and I were not at, they were at our wedding, but we were not at theirs. And I am like, I'm so ready for this.
Yeah, because we basically had similar reaction, right? We looked at each other the next day. We're like, that was the best night ever. And then we were like, we should do that all over again at our 10-year. And so I actually just secured the spot. So anyone who was invited, and then all the new people in our life for the last 10 years, which is going to be a lot of people. But we were like, we just want to have a big party and celebrate our 10 years. So yeah, so you're invited.
Oh, that's going to be so sick. That'll be so fun. Damn, you guys are probably you're going to have a blast planning that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you a reference of what is at stake, Faisal at the end of the reception last time got on the mic and did unedited Busta Rhymes "Look at Me Now" verse.
Oh wow!
And that's how we ended the reception. So
and that will be repeated.
That will
as
be
well.
Repeated. So Faisal,
damn,
get ready.
Yeah, Faisal's got some pressure on her. That's
she
part
does,
of the plans.
She does.
If that's in the plans a year and a half out, yeah, that's
on the agenda.
That's
like
a big
Faisal
moment.
On mic 7:15.
Yeah.
So just know you have that to look forward to. You guys can have something to look forward to just like that in 9 years and
9 months.
9 months.
Yeah. Can't wait. We'll get planning now.
Love it. All right. Final question. If you could pick a word that encompasses something that you're really striving for, something that you're focusing on, or just like an attitude or perspective that you've been trying to have currently or moving forward, what would that word be and why?
Consistency. Mm. Yeah. I think that's, I don't know. I mean, that's why, I mean, I guess to pull someone else into it, like that's like when I was swimming with Nathan, like I really look up to Nathan. Nathan was so consistent. I know that's not like an easy thing to do, but like coming in with, which is a consistent approach. I just think that's an incredible skill. And yeah. And I think, I like being around consistent people too. So yeah. I think people kind of know what they're getting with me. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I agree. That's a word I would definitely think of for you as well. Super consistent. And it's one of the many reasons why you've had the career that you've had and will continue to have.
You're the person that you are. Yeah.
All the things. All right, Ryan. Well, thank you so, so much. We really appreciate your time. We know it's close to the holidays and we're so happy for you and Bridget. We can't wait to watch you this upcoming year. As always, we'll be cheering our hearts out for you and just send all of our love to Bridget and to both of your families. And thank you so much again.
Love it.
Thank
you so much. This was fun. Missy, great seeing you as always. Katie, I don't know that we've really talked a ton, but this was awesome. No. I know we'd get along really well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's so funny. Like I'm like you said, like back when you were at the OTC, like I am older, right? So I haven't been able to get to know some of these athletes that are competing now. So it's been really, really fun to have these conversations. But yeah, I'm always like, hey, how are you? We've never actually really talked in person. But we'll see you at trials. You're invited to our 10-year, so we'll get to know each other.
That's the important one.
That is.
I'll be there.
Thank you so much for listening and watching Unfiltered Waters. We are so grateful for your support. If you could please hit that subscribe button on any of the channels that you're watching and maybe even give us a rating or review, we would appreciate it so much. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.